Welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, episode number 62, brought to you in association with boroughguide.co.uk. Well, we're gathered here tonight. Is that how you're supposed to say it? I don't know. In a brand new studio.
We're high-tech new studio.
With all sorts of things surrounding us. Dino?
Yeah, you're in my kitchen.
Dino's kitchen, yeah, has turned into our studio for this episode. An episode which we've been waiting to do for quite a while. It must be 6 months since we last got together.
It's been a little while, hasn't it? Been busy, though.
Fair bit's happened since then.
Been doing ever such a lot of stuff, haven't we, between the three of us?
Oh.
Got to the playoffs.
Done that.
Lost the manager.
Yeah.
Got a new manager.
Losing,
did we?
Losing. Losing.
Know exactly such. Where he has been at all times.
Yeah.
Been knocked out of a cup already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the league season's.
Get knocked out of another one next week.
Been in the paper a lot.
Have we? Yeah. Is that what they call column inches?
Been in the paper, been in the Guardian, and.
Times.
Times, we went in the Times, we did go in the Times. Sun, we've been in, and been on Sky Sports a lot, haven't we?
Probably the non-league paper a bit.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Non-league paper.
That's coming up. We've got a mention in Graham's Football League paper piece as well tonight, just a little.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, well, we relying on you to.
We didn't say much, it just mentioned.
Well,
let's not talk about
Dino, Steve and Hollis.
Yeah, the three of us. Yeah.
Well, before we move...
We haven't introduced the guest.
Before we move...
Yeah, do that, yeah.
I was just about to do
We're
that.
We're so out of practice, aren't we?
Actually.
Aren't we out of practice?
Very much out of practice. Ooh. Of course, as you've probably guessed, I've got Dean Thompson and Mark Hollis.
Hello.
Here. We're also joined by Mark Edwards.
Hi.
The guru of the Borough Stat.
Yeah.
He's going to try and calm me down and everything.
The Borough Brain.
The Borough Brain.
There he is.
I haven't done it yet. No. Should I do it while we sit here?
A man behind
the
curtain.
Well, it's a good time as any.
Now, let's get this out of the way first.
Well, just quickly, we've got...
Just apologise, shouldn't we? Dean's been stuck in traffic, so he's got the right needle.
We've got a podcast that's absolutely ran this evening, isn't it?
There's
a lot to get through.
We think there's going to be a fair old discussion going on.
I think it's going to be a two-parter.
A two-parter one.
Well, I think that's what it's going to
personally. I think it's going to be harder, faster, and longer. I don't know if that's true or not.
Good, good stuff.
Get you to explain that on a little bit later on. We've got a new jingle from Mr. Hollis.
Got a feature. Two new features. One of them's got a jingle.
Two new features. One jingle.
One jingle for one of them. The other one hasn't got a jingle yet. But I'm creative. Maybe I'm.
It's not a very long feature, is it?
It's not a feature, but it is a feature nonetheless.
Okay. And we have an email.
You've given away one of the features. Early doors.
Ah, okay. All right, moving on then.
Leave them guessing. They won't work out what it is.
We'll come to that. Where do we start? We've just had a match at the Lamex Stadium. It ended in defeat. 2-0 to Mansfield.
Is that where we're starting? Starting at the present, and then we'll work, then we'll deal with the stuff from the past.
Yeah,
deal with last night.
Well, I just think
you weren't happy, Steve, were you last night?
I wasn't happy. No, I think I just mentioned it. I reckon I've done nearly 1,000 Stevenage games now.
Yeah,
and that has got to be certainly one of the lowest.
That's the worst.
There's been some poor ones.
That's the worst I've seen. Since Weza confronted the East Terrace of Canvey Island at home after they did us whatever it was 4-1 at home.
4-1.
When Weza came over and confronted us all, that's the worst I've seen since then.
October 2004.
Well, there you go. That's almost 11 years to the day.
Right. So why were we so disappointed with last night?
I'm not even sure I was disappointed. Because I think you can only be disappointed in stuff if you don't expect it.
Well, and you were expecting that?
I expected it to be poor. Quite that poor was perhaps a surprise. A slight surprise. But I didn't really feel disappointed. I felt sad last night. I've left that ground loads of times feeling sad. But normally it's because we've lost an important game or something's happened. Or we've been terrible and I felt a bit sad, but also mainly angry. last night I was almost one of the last people left on the East Terrace, just sort of looking around for something. And I looked up in the where Phil and all his mob were, and they were all handshakes and cuddles, and it felt like I'd lost something.
It seemed to me from sort of a couple of exchanges over the last days and weeks that really that yesterday has really been the culmination of a little bit of momentum that's been going in the same direction. And it's almost like it confirmed some people's sort of suspicions and fears.
I've dropped jam on my iPad.
Yeah, it's been like up until this point, it felt like
carry on, Mark.
It's very difficult with a distraction like that.
Let's get it just worse.
Dean's dropped jam on his iPad screen, and now he's just smearing it in with his finger. It's one of the most repulsive things I've ever seen.
Mark, why did you bring donuts with jam?
I should explain. I thought it would be a nice thing to bring a gift.
Bring a present.
Bring a present for the team, and then just spit it out. Basically,
we're okay. I'm back in control.
Yeah, I think a lot of
people have been frightened to say too much in case it didn't pan out how many people expected. I've kept a very, very close silence to my thoughts on the whole.
Catch powder dry
on the whole episode.
I like your iPad.
But ultimately, it's been an utterly ridiculous exercise.
Which episode?
The
everything.
From
you're moving on. We're just talking about last night. Let's get that out of the way. I don't think we can say too much about last night, other than however many negative words.
Yeah, but
it was the
culmination of thinking that we were going to be poor, but we didn't actually really think we were going to be this poor.
Yeah, but I have this thing about football supporters as a species that they are just mostly vested in their team. It's very difficult for them to be objective and take themselves away from the situation and say, actually, this is quite crap, because they want to see the good side of everything. And it's very difficult for the football supporter to admit that the team's not very good, or things aren't going very well, or they're putting a lot of money behind something that actually they're not enjoying. It's very hard to admit, because you're so wedded and you're so invested in the product. But at some point, that happens, and individually you break. And what's probably been the case for fair weather supporters who can come along once or twice and feel like, actually, it's not the sort of thing that's going to drag me in. I can go away again. I'll come back in a couple of months and see what happens. It's now affecting people who would be going to three quarters of all the games in a season, who are realising the impact of what's happening to. And what is the highlight of their week or whatever it might be.
The worrying thing with that, of course, is that the whole idea of the route we've gone down is to be dragging in those fair weather fans.
Yeah.
And now we can't even keep hold of our loyal fans that have gone everywhere to every game. The biggest thing for me this week, my sort of barometer for this sort of stuff is I'm very reactionary and whatever else, and I try not to be, but I am. I normally gauge my thoughts on what does Sev think on the forum. What's Sev posted? Because he's quite a level-headed sort of a chap. Even he's thinking the same thing as me.
Yeah.
And when that's happening, that's when you're sort of struggling a little bit. And I think whether they want to admit it or not, and however many patronising tweets Barry Rebel wants to send on the situation, that's serious. That's really, really serious. And that's something they need to sort out very, very quickly, because it's all well and good to read stuff from the likes of us and go, oh, it's only them idiots, they're always doing it. You've got to look at those people. Sev travels from Lincoln to every home game and to the vast, vast majority of away games. Yeah. And even he's going, I don't know if I'm involved.
There was a lot of that today. I saw a few people saying
Chuds is another one.
Not coming back.
Can't bother to go.
At the moment.
Saturday. Even me, Saturday.
I didn't go Saturday, and I travelled the country in the League One relegation season.
It's It's hard. The only positive I can take from last night, and it's taken me since last night till about 10 minutes ago to realise it, is it feels like something might happen. It feels like last night might cause a reaction somewhere. I don't know what that reaction would be, but it might kickstart something.
We'll
I don't know
about that because there's some ideas what ranging from
the East Terrace last night was just really horrible place to be.
Well, the West Stand wasn't particularly great either.
I know, but the East doesn't. You know, up where I stand up there, it's always normally very positive. We'll support. They'll be, you know, we'll all be singing and whatever for the whole game, whatever's going on. But to have two or three substitutions booed, like loud, is one thing. Particularly when you've got the first one wrong as well. Because whether you like Jack Jebb or not, there's no way, unless he was injured, there's no way he should have been yanked at half time. There's no way he was the worst player on the pitch in that first half in a million years. He was playing next to the worst player on the pitch. So if you've seen Jebb, you've definitely seen Schumacher. And how
was it like for like replacement?
Yeah, put another central midfielder on. I don't know. Maybe he was injured, and it's difficult to say with that one. But
firstly,
I'm going to say
fair play to the East Terrace, because in that second half there was a bit of noise coming from them, and there were points where they were getting behind. Now you might come up with a different.
There was, but for Barry to come out afterwards and go support from the East Stand was tremendous. Yeah. No, it wasn't Barry. You've been there when the support from
East Stand
has been tremendous.
Because his phone must have been buzzing all the way
he
back.
He has
all
had
the way
a battering
home
on Twitter.
Because he got everybody replying to it. And he must think, well, I should have done that.
It's not like he's only been here for 5 minutes and he came in at the start of the season and that's the best he's ever heard the Terrace. He's heard that Terrace when it's tremendous.
Hmm.
He has heard us be tremendous. So to say tremendous and not caveat it with anything is you've made yourself look stupid, Barry.
Booze at half time, booze at the final whistle,
booze at both substitutions in the second half.
And that, I don't think that was at the players, was it? That
ironic rounds of applause for Schumacher's free kick in the second half, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Mm.
Free kick in your own half that you just want to lump into the box, play it to your left back. Let them pile pressure on you. He plays it back to Schumacher, who hasn't moved, and then he lumps it into the box from where he was, which he should have done in the first place, and puts it straight out for a goal kick, nowhere near anybody.
Mm.
Actually, that's another feature we could have tonight. Stupid things that happened last night that made you laugh.
He had that ball pulled back for a shot as well, didn't he? Right near the end, and he hit it wide. Yeah. He was centre of goal. It was teed up beautifully, and it swerved away, 10 to 15 yards wide.
I had tears in my eyes at one point last night from laughing so hard. Because there's, you know, when you're just despairing. What was that where Mark Hughes beat two players and then just kicked the ball out for a throw-in? And I looked for a few seconds to think.
I'd be really
he
interested.
Must have, who was he trying to pass that to? And there was no one even on that side of the pitch, let alone in the vicinity. It's like he just
interested.
Got bored and someone was injured and he just thought, stick that in the stand. It was ludicrous.
I'd love someone to tell me how many goal kicks Mark Hughes conceded last night. Every ball he pumped forward went out for a goal kick.
Who went to the... The Plymouth game, you didn't know, did you? The Plymouth game, yes, you were there.
Where?
I was there for 10 minutes of it last night before they changed the scoreboard.
You were there.
Dino? What, for the home win?
For the Plymouth game,
yes.
Mark, you weren't there.
I wasn't there. I've been to three games this season.
And you weren't there. I really enjoyed that game. And for me, up until that point, we had built up to that performance. And it was... Game on game, you could see an improvement. And for me, the win against Plymouth was an excellent win against a decent side. And you just start thinking, well, you know, we're there. Because that puts us within touching distance of the playoffs, didn't it?
Well, after how many games, though?
Since then, it's kind of gone very much downhill, culminating in three games... which have been poor, but they're getting progressively worse.
Mm.
And I've just had a quick count up. The Plymouth game, the team from Plymouth to the team last night, 8 changes.
How many of those are enforced? Have you got that far? Who was it? How many are injured?
I was just about to look at that.
Do you want me to tell you the team against Plymouth?
I've dropped you in it a little bit. You weren't prepared for that, were you? Sorry.
No, the team against Plymouth was Chris Day in goal.
You can understand why he's been dropped, can't you?
Fraser Franks right back. Connor Ogilvy, left back. Franks was on the bench last night. Ogilvy's injured.
Yeah.
Dean Wells and Mark Hughes is centre back pairing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dean Wells was on the bench last night. Mark Hughes played. The midfield, which showed Whelpdale and Pett, the two wide men. Pett was on the bench last night.
That was Whelpdale's first game back, wasn't it?
Two centre midfielders, Dean Parrott and Connor Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Smith was on the bench last night. Dean Parrott's injured.
Parrott injured.
Charlie Lee and Tom Hitchcock. Well, I mean,
Charlie
arguably
injured?
Charlie Lee wasn't even in the 16 last night.
Oh, yeah,
Hitchcock started.
Three and forced and five because you just fancy it.
But those players that were on the bench, what have they done to get on the bench now?
One player of the month and signed a new 2-year deal.
I have to say, that was a blooming strong bench last night.
Oh, wow, do you have a seven-a-side team?
It was on that, like, it was...
Franks, Wells, Pett, Day.
Akinyemi,
Kennedy, and another human.
Smith.
Yeah,
Day, Franks, Pett, Wells, Akinyemi, Smith, and Kennedy.
Yeah.
It's a bit of class on there.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand why they're on the bench. I don't understand the substitutions. How you've taken Tom Condon off,
five,
and Chris Whelpdale off, I do not know.
Another way of looking at it, five of that bench last night played in the win against Plymouth.
Yeah.
And the other two were Akinyemi and Ben Kennedy.
Yeah.
I have to say, looking at that, just as a little sort of sidebar, is that that's quite a good bench in terms of breadth. One of the things Wesley always struggled with was getting seven on the bench to begin with, and then having a bit of variety on there, because you end up with three players in the same position, and not a lot of options. Whereas that screams options.
Mm.
Well, I disagree, because I think we've got. I had a conversation with a Luton fan this week at work, who went, oh, after four or five games, I was worrying about relegation. I mean, well, that's you being an idiot, because you've got a squad and you've got a budget, and you've got, even if it's the manager and you get rid of him at Christmas, you'll still get someone in.
It's not the manager at Luton, because they've got an experienced manager.
I look at us and I go, we've got a starting 11 if they're fit, not a lot else, no budget, and a manager who's managed 10 games in his life. Because I look at the starting 11 last night and I go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that I wouldn't have started, and there's 5 on the bench that I would have. 5 players I wouldn't have even had on the bench. 5 players, actually, after last night, I'd quite happily never see put Stevenage on.
I said that on the radio.
So I don't think, someone said this, someone said, I think it was Chad's person from the, I'm quite happy with our squad. I'm happy with our starting 11. If we're fit and we can play Parrott and McAllister and Pett and Whelpdale and Charlie Lee, you know, great. Other than that, I'm not having it.
I think there's a much stronger set of 18 collectively. There's much more depth there than you have had in the last couple of years.
There's players on there in their natural position that I'd rather have a Graham Wesley style player out of position playing there.
Yeah.
Which Charlie Lee at centre back, when he played centre back last season at Luton, in that final game, was better at centre half last night than Jamie McCoon was.
Yeah.
Jamie McCoon was last night. At one point, Jamie McCoon was running for a ball with his back to it. Like running backwards had never been invented.
Jamie McCoon played well against Ipswich.
Okay.
Good for him.
Well done.
He's played 350-odd games. Do you know what?
Last night, Graham would have known exactly how many league
games he played.
Last night, I saw Jamie McCoon clear a ball that was 5 foot in the air with his foot.
Literally harder to
get his foot up that high.
Are you suggesting he should have stooped to head it?
A little. Also, I saw him get manhandled by a bloke with the stature of a twig. He's a 6'5" and about 15 stone, and he got manhandled by a child. Not even one of the ones playing for us.
Leads us on, because there's a player on that side last night who deserved his chance and probably should have been
in position
chance before last night. And he's got thrown in last night, and he's not playing in his natural position.
And he was still probably the best player on the pitch.
Tom Conlon.
I don't know what's gone on there. It's hard with him though, isn't it? Because like, I've never seen him have a bad game for us. But Wesley never used to play him either.
No, we asked him that, didn't we, at one point? I can't remember what anything.
I remember what he said.
Go on then.
Oh, it's not really for repeating, is it? It was a private conversation in a posh bar. Posh donuts.
I just...
Oh,
I think he thought he just wasn't quite ready.
Bit lightweight.
Yeah, bit little. Because Graham obviously liked big, strong and physical.
Mm.
The chap from Mansfield sat next to me last night, was doing his bit, and he said, oh, and you know, Mansfield are going to come up against a real big, big battle here at Stevenage.
Mm.
And he switched his mic off, and I went, you ain't going to get a battle. And at half time, he looked at me, he went, he said, I didn't realise. He said, we haven't got out of second gear yet.
Well, I said that to you in the second half, didn't I?
Mm.
So at the moment, Mansfield haven't even started sweating, and they're 2-0 up. And they weren't. There was no...
Mansfield was so bored that they just started picking up yellow cards for a laugh.
There was no urgency to their game. It didn't need to be.
Yeah, it didn't need to be. You come out after half time, you need 2 goals in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the game gone at that point.
I listened to their manager's interview, and he was like, every single one of my players knew exactly what I expected of them. Every single one of my players did their jobs tonight that they were told to do.
It's overstating that a little bit.
I have not heard our manager say that our players know what their jobs are, because I don't think our players do know what their jobs are.
I was going to say, certainly hasn't said that they've done them.
For a fact, that first goal last night, there was nobody on the post.
No.
Surely that's somebody's job.
He might have asked them to do that.
Exactly. Oh, crikey.
I'm not saying it's right, but this has long been the way. It's like,
oh, see, I knew he'd do this to me.
What about when I can't remember which one of our centre half pairing it was that picked it up on the right hand side of the box, left hand side of the box as we looked at it, and played it across the edge of the 18 yard box to our left back. That was good. That was one of my favourite bits. The other one was when Mark Hughes couldn't put enough power behind a 3 yard pass back and let their striker in. Nipped in there.
No, I think you're being kind. Steve said that. I think you're being kind to him. I think he completely missed it.
Horrific.
So, I watched that. So I went to the game last night. I watched that highlight today, and first thing I thought was John Ashton against Everton. It's more or less identical, but because Ashton's had a lot of time at Borough and he's got, he's built up a bit of a reputation. He gets afforded a bit of credit to say actually that was an aberration. That's not what John Ashton typically does. Mark Hughes has half a dozen games in a Stevenage shirt, and unfortunately for him, That's gonna be branded on him as one of the first things he's done that people are gonna remember.
Yeah.
And the same's gonna apply for, a lot of these players, unless things turn a corner.
I think there's a lot of that going on. I mean, there's people saying, "Oh, Ronnie Henry was the same old Ronnie Henry that we know." No, I'm not happy with that.
It wasn't Ronnie Henry's greatest game ever.
But Ronnie Henry was no better or worse than any of the other players on the pitch, in my view. He didn't stand out.
He never does, though.
He never does.
I wouldn't have said at any point that Ronnie Henry did anything wrong.
Yeah.
I could pick every single one of those other players, including Chris Welkdale and Tom Conlon, who did do things wrong. And nothing stood out from Ronnie. The thing that got me last night, actually, I've just remembered, that I said just inside the second half, perhaps. You look through that starting 11, it was probably just after the second going in, and I said to the lot I'm standing with, who on that pitch is going to get hold of this game? Who have we got on the pitch? Whether they get hold of the game, or whether they get hold of the rest of their team and try and drag something out of the rest of the team, there was nobody on there that's going to grab hold of anything.
Well, one came on and had a pretty good go at it. You won't like it because you're not a huge fan, are you?
Who?
Ben Kennedy.
No, that's not true. I am a fan of Ben Kennedy. I'm not a fan of everybody hugely overhyping Ben Kennedy.
You didn't want to be a fan of Ben Kennedy, did you?
I didn't at first, because I felt he was overhyped. And then when I saw him, he has played well. I don't think at any point he's played as well as
I thought he came out with huge credit last night, because that was a difficult game.
He done all right. He did
for him
do all right.
To come on to.
Absolutely.
And he's had a go.
Let me just state that now. I have no issue whatsoever with Ben Kennedy. I think he's a good player, and I don't know how often we're going to be doing these. I want to go on record now and go, I have no issue with any of our youth team players that have come through to the first team squad, I just don't think any of them are ready yet. I think they've been thrown in at the deep end. I'm sure they will all be good players and they will all go on to have careers in the game and whatever else. But they are all players that should be on loan to the conference this season and all that should be staying here and getting 20 minutes, half hour here and there, or getting a start if someone's injured, because that's how development works. It doesn't work by going, you played some nice football against other children, but now go in and play a full game. Because I think Dippo's looked really, really good.
Well,
but he's not ever going to do it for 90 minutes until he's been developed a little
bit
more.
He's probably the one that I was just going to argue with you. I'd like to see him starting, because...
How many games did he start at the beginning of the season?
Well, that was...
Three or four?
He kind of built up a...
And then you can't leave Charlie Lee and Hitchcock out. You know,
you can leave Charlie Lee out. Where did this come from? You very much can leave Charlie Lee out. His performances at the back end of last season warrant him being left out. The two performances I saw from early in the season warrant him being left out.
And that's out of nowhere, because the first two-thirds of last year, he would have been one of your first choices. 100%. Really consistent, really reliable.
It was like at one point in the season, something just switched and he went, yeah, I'm not sure he fancies it anymore.
See, before that game, Dippo and Brett Williams had had a partnership for...
But they only scored one goal, didn't they? And that was Dippo.
Williams has scored, didn't he?
Four games. Those before Plymouth, onto him out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Williams and Dippo were the strike pair.
Williams got one, and Dippo got one.
And laugh at me or whatever, I actually felt that was starting to hit off that pairing. And then we got to the Plymouth game and it was changed. But I thought those two played quite well together.
It's difficult for me to say too much. I've been seeing three games.
Mm.
I'll leave it at that.
Let me just read you a little piece that Sev posted today. In my 19 years, I've never experienced a game like that last night. I've never been in a crowd like it. I really do feel you had to be there to know what we're worrying about. But even then, it may not have bothered you. I can't really explain it. For me, personally, a realisation dawned on me that the club is being taken in a different direction. I don't think I realised what they meant until last night. It wasn't that Stevenage I grew up supporting. We've been turned into just another club, a modern entity, one that I can watch anywhere up and down the country or on my TV. One where fans boo and players come and go. One with no unique identity or roots.
Well, first of all, you've missed your calling. Reading out audiobooks.
I was on the verge of tears then, actually, the way that was read.
Yeah, you almost wanted the national anthem playing in the background.
Yeah.
It was good.
He probably said it laughing. And you just, you know.
There's a lot in there. I would.
But that's kind of.
I can't disagree with too much of that at all.
That's far more concisely put in what I was trying to say about feeling sad last night. It felt like last night, like you're saying, the culmination of everything. Because I haven't seen a lot of games as well. You read all the stuff online, you have an expectation, you go in, you go, can it really be that bad? Oh, yes, it can be worse.
Can I just say as well, I object to people on that forum saying, do you forget last year we had a pretty poor spell, or there was a poor spell between November 13 and 14? You know, have you got that short of memory? Last night was the pits. Come on, let's...
Yeah,
it was. And I don't need telling that was any different. Whether you think it was the worst game you've ever seen, or whether you think it was one of the top 10 worst games you've ever seen, don't start flaring it up and saying, well, you know, we've had poor games in the past.
It was,
in the past, we had that little thing in the back of our mind thinking, he's going to get us out of this.
And when we got relegated...
At the moment, I'm struggling to find it.
When we got relegated, it was in League One as well.
Yeah.
But the reason for that, and again, it's like the Ashton thing I mentioned earlier, is that where last season, Graham Westby had... many, many games behind him where people have said or identified that actually, you know, his teams aren't as bad as what I'm seeing in front of me tonight or in the last three games. I have the confidence of experience, my experience watching this team, to know that actually it's more likely to work out for the better.
Mm.
But because you're in a situation where Barrow basically trying out a managerial situation, then you've not got the comfort to know that, well, he's done this before, and he's got experience to get out of it, or he's taken teams from scraps before and managed to do something out of it. You've got very few things to cling on to, and you've got to decide whether or not you're going to put yourself behind the experiment and say, yeah, I'm willing to go with this.
Mm.
In which case, you have to sit back and give it time and appreciate it for what it is, or you're going to say, I'm so invested in this club's results and the performances that I got to seek change. But then your motivations are very different from those of the people who are actually making the decisions.
Yes, sometimes you have to take a hit to go forward. But from the what thing we're saying, that we're not going forward at all.
It's what you're saying there, though, is it was whatever word you use about it being an experiment or whatever. I feel like we're experimenting with too much. We've ended up back in League Two. In my view, you would pick one thing to experiment with. You would go, I don't like the way Graham Wesley plays, so what I'm going to do is experiment with a new manager. What we've done is gone, I'm going to experiment with a new manager who's never managed before. I'm going to experiment with an entirely new team. Mm-hmm. I'm going to experiment with not giving him any money. And I'm just going to hope that actually all those things are okay. I can understand if he'd have gone. It's difficult. It is difficult. Yeah, because the reason for the change is Phil doesn't want to spend as much money. We want to change his philosophy and bring youth team footballers through and do all of that. And Graham Wesley wouldn't have stood for it, because Graham Wesley would have gone, I'm not putting out players who aren't ready because they're not ready. Which is fine. So take aside the fact that you've got rid of Graham Wesley. Even if you choose to do that, bring in an experienced manager then. Mm. Or bring in somebody with the manager who is experienced at bringing youth team players through. Or not some bloke who had a career at the lower end of the Football League and hasn't done anything since then and was going to go and manage a Sunday League team.
Tittree and...
not somebody who... Yeah. Darren Sahl, who... With the greatest of respect to him, you've managed children playing against other children. And I'm sure... Is that not true? It's a youth team. Another word for youth is children. It's a youth team. And I'm sure that doesn't make you any less qualified. It doesn't mean you don't know about football. And it doesn't mean that you're not a very, very good coach, because I'm...
A lot of people got a lot of good things to say about
you. You obviously are very, very good. But it doesn't mean that youth team players who've only played youth team football are ready to then go...
Mm.
Leighton Orient summed it up for me. Mm. However many goals we went down to at Leighton Orient, when you go, right, what's he going to do to change this up? Ladies and gentlemen, for coming on for this evening, Jack Storer.
Mm.
Okay, but, Jack, I'm really sorry, mate. I'm sure you're going to be really good, and I'm sure you're far better than I'll ever...
But we're 3-0 down at Leighton Orient.
But we're 2 or 3-0 down at Leighton Orient. And
what are you going to do about that, then?
You've come on for a laugh, because Teddy thought... Give him a little run out. Well, actually, if you're trying to develop him by giving him a run out at the end of the game, don't do it when you're 3-0 down. Having held that team for a little while,
all right. But
we've changed too much.
So you touched on something that I was hoping we were going to end up talking about, which is selection of a management team and having decided to go down a particular direction. I'm curious whether or not we've decided we want to go down this direction and the management team have fitted that mould. Or whether or not you've seen, oh, somebody's on the market, and suddenly this is the direction I fancy going down. And the reason I say that is because I don't think, and I've been wanting to say this for a long time on this podcast, that Phil is particularly good at picking managers.
He's not. Who put it? Rob this week said bringing Graham Wesley to club was the only correct manager decision that he's ever made.
The second time,
yeah,
might have been. Yeah. First time, he got bloody lucky. And you know why? Because he didn't pick him because, oh, Graham's got a great history of picking players out of non-league and building them up into a good team and getting this team spirit. That wasn't what picking Graham Wesley in 2002 was about. That was about getting out of a really sticky situation and conveniently bringing in a bunch of players who were slightly better than the ones we had at the time. If you go through the history of managers that Phil has brought in, you start off with Steve Wignall, which, as anyone knows, did not work out particularly well or long. Paul Fairclough, the second coming, it was probably worth a try, but it could have worked. Didn't give it particularly long either. It was less than two seasons.
Mm.
Wayne Turner didn't last a year, and that was the nadir for a lot of people.
Phil said to me one night in the toilets,
he said, put it away, Dean.
Yeah. Did he set a scene? Oh, cubicle or urinals?
He said, when Gary came in.
Number one or two?
Smith. Bustin. He said, it was pre-season. I think it was Roger Austin's leaving do, and I was invited. When I said, "All right, Dino," I said, "Yeah, fans seem quite happy. You know, everyone's quite positive. You know, because Gary took us to the playoffs. We lost to Sheffield United."
He didn't, though, did he?
No, he didn't.
Get on with it.
And I said, "You playing?" He said, "I'm getting quite good at picking managers, and I."
No, so I reckon he's only ever really got maybe.
And we saw him last Saturday, and I and Steve wanted to have a chat with him, and I said, "Well, we better be careful because last time we spoke to you, Phil, you sacked a manager." Ha 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 ha! He thought I was being serious, and he went, "I don't sack managers." He said, "I've only ever sacked one," and then we reeled off three or four, didn't we, for him? And he went, "Oh yeah, that was him. Oh, Richard Hill, yeah, that was him."
But then, so this is going to be for another podcast another day. I would still disagree with you about Gary Smith, but I still rated him.
Now
I still think it was too soon. If you're gonna then this is the thing. This is my point about Phil. If you're gonna decide that this is what you want to do, then you have to give it time.
Yeah, but we only wanted Gary gone eventually because Graham had become available.
Of course it was.
That's not what he told me. Do you not remember at the Meet the Manager? And when I asked him a question, and he went, "If you're asking me, did I sack Gary because Graham was available? Then the answer's no." And I went, "No, that wasn't what I was asking you."
It's got to say. It's got to say.
Sorry, go on, Mark.
Who'd like a glass of wine?
I'd love one, please.
I think there'll be very few people who would deny that Mark Simpson was a good pick.
Yep.
Yep.
And the only time since that we've tried to replicate that was Gary Smith. And it didn't give enough time because of whatever reason it was. Now, Stimmo leaving was sore situation at the time.
You want one?
And since then,
I'm going to need one. Since
then, he's not backed himself to say actually, the logic was right behind picking that style or that management situation. I'm just because it didn't work out, don't mean it won't work out again. No. So you should follow that process again if that's what you really believe. But you've chopped and changed methodologies and what you're aiming for so many times, and now we're saying, okay, so we want to try and attract fans and we want to try and do things in a different, but that I can't tell you what a Phil Wallace manager is. After what, nearly 15 years, we should bloody well be able to do that.
I don't think Phil Wallace wants to sack managers.
No.
What? Not his interest. Nobody wants to.
But something's got to happen at the moment, in my mind. What about if we get some kind of father figure involved?
Like Peter Taylor.
Well, a name out the hat there, Peter Taylor. Maybe not Peter Taylor, but I don't know. Somebody mentioned there was a game with Lenny Lawrence on the bench the other day for somebody.
Notts County.
Yeah. You know, that kind of...
Carl Robinson surrounds himself with experience number two.
John Gorman.
Glenn Hoddle did the same thing with Gorman, but Carl's had what's his name, Gary Wadder. Carl's had Richie Barker.
But these people probably know them from previous times in their career. I can't imagine Teddy will know anyone.
John Gorman.
That's the difficulty, isn't it, with picking these.
He's not been around very long. Yeah,
do you know what?
Well, Teddy Sheringham would know John Gorman, wouldn't he? From England days and Spurs.
Yeah, but there are plenty of other situations.
Can we just go back to Gary again for a minute? We Gary Smith coming in from America, it was in the paper. Nigel Winterburn to be his first team coach. Steve Guppy to be his assistant manager. They worked together in America and we were all like, yeah, Guppy's back, Nigel Winterburn. Then Mark Newsome pitched up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, and Gary Phillips,
who you didn't even know what he looked like.
I didn't even know.
To be slightly fair and to correct that a bit, I'm sure I read an interview with Smith at some point subsequent to leaving where the idea was that Guppy was going to come in and he got a better offer to stick around in America.
So let's not sneer at Gary Phillips either, because where's he working now, Dean?
He's at Crystal Palace, amazingly.
Sensational.
Is he at Palace?
He was last season, but I think he's dropped down a bit because Pardew's bought that wonderful ex-Stevenage goalkeeper Andy Woodman to be his goalkeeper coach.
Prem transfer.
But
unbelievable.
Strangely enough, his son's now on loan at Crawley.
Believe it or not, these things always come full circle. Guess who was in goal the night that Stevenage lost 4-1 to Canopy Island?
And he wouldn't.
Oh, God.
But, you're looking for ways forward. And
you need someone that knows this league.
A guiding hand, somebody... Do they need to know the league? I don't think the league is...
Particularly.
Look at James Beattie, went to Accrington, was, a brand new manager, absolutely useless, and is now a number two in the Premier League.
I don't think League Two now is the same as League Two was when we first played in League Two. Looking at the football in it, it's completely different.
Reading the forums, is someone not saying that at the Meet the Chairman event, they were making it very clear that they were schooling Darren Sowell for taking over as first team manager? That seems to be the
number of people
word
said that.
That's going around.
That's,
where I wasn't there.
That seems like a bit
easy.
Of a,
is one of the ones who said
like
that, which makes me
rather than something that was sort of
easy. Easy was there, and he said that's what it was, and I would believe Easy. Well, if that's what you're doing, why are you schooling him for a geezer who's never managed a game in his life? If you want to, teach Darren Sowell the ropes, it's like getting an apprentice in and getting another apprentice to teach him. You've got to play. Yes, Teddy Sheringham was one of the best strikers this country's ever produced. Yes, he's played in every level and won everything there possibly is to win.
Right. But if you've
never managed a game in your life.
If you're Darren Sowell and you're given that opportunity, you're probably not going to turn it down.
Oh, absolutely not. Now he's rubbing his hands together.
Yeah, but the people who put him in that situation probably not put too much thought into it. If that's the case. If what you're saying is...
Well, it doesn't appear to have,
If the intention is to groom him into this... This future managerial prospect that's going to work out, then you've not put the machine in place that's going to allow him to get from A to B and come out with what you're asking for.
The thing that worries me most about all of this is that none of the reasons as to why it's happened appear to be true. They don't appear to be honest. From my point of view, it's money. Phil doesn't want to spend money. Someone else offered to put a bit more money in. It seems a bit disingenuous to then go, oh, we'll get more fans in. No, we won't. None of you are stupid enough to think it's going to bring more fans in. None of you are stupid enough to think that doing that, other than Damo, that are going to come down regularly, maybe for the first few games, whatever. That's not why you're doing it. You're not doing it to change the philosophy. You're changing the philosophy because you've made a decision to get rid of somebody.
I think that
your decision to get rid of somebody has been based on the personality clash between the board and Graham Wesley.
I don't think any other reason. It certainly wasn't Phil's decision. It was certainly a boardroom decision.
Yeah.
And those
Phil would have kept him on.
They're hiding behind, a smoke screen, and Phil's the man at the front. They don't want to speak. Don't want to come out and say, "Yeah, all right, we said that we needed a change." Whoever they are, those boards of directors, I don't know. They're listed in the front of the programme here.
I want to hear from Paul Weller.
No, he's not
there.
He's
not on the board now.
Marcus Taverner QC, don't know if it's him. Stuart Dinsey, Dr. Mark Wallace, Michael Shortland, Paul Wallace. Oh, Paul Weller's an associate director. Those guys have had to have some influence in this because they could pull their money at any particular... I don't know how much they pay to be a director. I can't imagine it's a massive amount. But, dare I say it's all down to ego? Dare I say that?
Well, but then you use the word ego, Mark's used the word personality clash. Is it necessary? So, you're alluding to the
Graham wasn't a yes man. Graham would go in the boardroom and call them all a bunch of what's-its.
That's fine. But
and they don't like that.
But you're inferring that that's what's behind the decision, whereas
yes, right? Do you not think?
But that's what you think. It's not necessarily what's happened.
We think that.
Right?
Whether that's one side of the story or not, I don't know.
Yeah, but it could be a number of things. It could be about sort of philosophy around what you want to see.
Right.
If they are putting money behind it, they want to see a certain product.
Right. Let's take Darren Sowell and Dino
Memory. Sorry, before you move on, it is perfectly reasonable that if it is an ego thing, is an ego thing, and it is a personality clash, that's all right. That's fine. If that's what you want to do, and you want to change your philosophy and bring youth team players through, you don't keep Graham West as your manager. I understand that completely,
but I want
someone to say that. I want Barry Roberts to come out and go, we wanted to bring youth team players through, and Graham wouldn't have done it. So that's why Graham went, and we had to bring in somebody who would do that. Whether they knew they were going to do that when they signed up to be manager or not remains to be seen. But okay. that's a perfectly but reasonable thing to come out and say.
Why replace them with less qualified people? Darren Sahl is a UEFA A licensed coach. Dino Maria is a pro licensed coach. Okay, so I don't know what Kevin Watson.
He's also a pro licensed coach.
Is he?
With experience of dealing with first team grown up footballers.
Where's his head in?
It sounds like I'm really knocking Darren Sahl. I'm not knocking Darren Sahl at all.
Nor me. Because he's done a great job with some of those players.
And also,
he's an absolute nor am I knocking
Teddy Sheringham. That's what's annoying. The Teddy out brigade.
It is not Teddy's fault. He is not a talented football manager. That's not his fault.
We don't know yet.
He isn't at the moment.
You don't know.
He isn't.
He's had 10 games. 10, 11 games.
I will give Teddy
Sheringham. He's not a talented football manager for me.
Not yet, he's not.
No.
But I'm willing to give him a year, 80 months, like I would anybody else.
How many managers have been a talented football manager after 11 games?
Do you know what? He hasn't passed the 10-minute rule, has he?
Well...
passed the 10 points.
How do you know? How can you say...
Because it was the pits last night! You just summed Ferguson, it up 10 minutes ago. It was the pits last night!
Ferguson was in all sorts of bother in his first season.
I turned the heating on a minute ago. It's going off now.
Point any fingers at Teddy at the moment. Yes, he's made baffling decisions. For me, it looks like he's come in and they've gone, you've got this much money.
I think,
no, you haven't. You've got half of that amount.
I think the problem...
Yeah,
exactly. And that is... Do you remember... We went to the season ticket holders, meet the manager thing, and Teddy actually
said... tickets.
Well, we were specially...
We got in the back door.
We were specially invited guests.
Who invited you?
I can't remember. But do you remember said about the squad, and he said, I don't know that I can bring any more in because I haven't got as much money as I thought I had.
Yeah, and experienced manager though would have known how much money he had.
But Phil would argue he did have as much money as I told him he'd had.
Yep.
But out of that money comes appearances and fees.
And I said to him, "You need to get on at the chairman because the previous manager said that, and he didn't give up until come January. We needed to bring in this player, this player, and this player."
But that's what we're talking about. This is a brand new manager with a degree of naivety. Who's come in and he doesn't fully understand. Now he knows.
Yeah. I have no issue with Teddy Sheringham at all. I think he's been tucked up.
I'm wondering what support he's getting.
Teddy Sheringham.
I want to have more support. And by that, I mean get somebody there to just sit next to him on the bench.
He bought his own team in.
Okay.
Kevin Watson and Darren Sahl.
That hasn't worked.
How do you know it hasn't worked? It's only been 10 games. That's what you just said to me a minute ago.
It's not working.
You can keep your backroom staff, but I'm bringing in, I don't know,
Heidi Boothroyd.
Alex Ferguson is going to sit next to you for a month in the dugout.
Look at Hartlepool.
And let's see.
Look at Hartlepool last season.
Do we have to?
Ronnie Moore. An experienced League Two manager. He proved the case that you need to have a proven League Two, been around the block kind of manager.
You're so fickle.
I'm not fickle. I am just saying how I feel, and you wouldn't want me to do it any other way. I don't think at 49 Teddy should have, if he'd have wanted to have been a football manager, he'd have been a football manager by now.
Yeah, that is a worry when he goes, I've never even thought about being a football manager. Okay, well, I'd like you
he
to
He said the other day, if I haven't played golf or I haven't played poker for a few days, that's what he's been doing for the last 9 years. He's had, he retired, he's got a few bob, he don't need the hassle. Does he need all this grief? Does he need the old boys sitting above the tunnel giving him all that? And the old boys in row E and F giving him all that? No, he don't. He don't have to put up with that. I want someone
that
needs to earn a few bob and wants a job.
So what's his motivation?
What's his motivation?
I don't know. I seriously don't know.
I'm not expecting you to know.
Well, you tell me.
He wants to make a go of it, and he wants to be a football manager. Why would you?
He doesn't look like he wants to be.
He's got to convince you. If that's the case, he's got to convince you.
He doesn't look like he wants to be a football manager.
I know you were conducting an interview last night, but I saw the interview he did after the game, and I think I would describe it as almost like a ventriloquist dummy. He managed to well, a ventriloquist would have done a better impression of a football manager, because his jaw did not move once whilst he was having that conversation. He was
he looked dead as a dodo.
Either it was either switched off, or it was internally fuming, and it was just all he could do to let some words pass his lips. But that, you know, again,
he's
I don't
mind
that.
If he's internally fuming, then good.
Hang about. We got fed an awful lot in interviews last year from Graham Weston,
which
just went straight over your head because you weren't interested in it. I'm not overly bothered about what a manager says after a game.
Yeah.
I don't even. Nine times out of ten, I don't even listen.
See, I am.
But
why is
but,
included?
Because I know that what I'm listening to
is
what...
You ripped your headphones off and didn't listen to half of it.
It's true. Because
that's how interested he is.
Because, so I'm right. Boom! I'm going to bang the table.
No, don't bang the table.
I ripped my headphones off because I didn't want to listen to it anymore because it wouldn't make any sense. So what are them players doing in training on a Monday morning? Are they turning off? Are they not listening? By the way, Jamie, you're on the back post, all right, for corners. Oh, 1-0. Oh, I wasn't listening to that bit, Gaffer.
He's running in the wrong direction.
But you might not necessarily care what managers say after interviews. A lot of people do. This is how we got into the situation
Absolutely.
With Gary Smith saying, coining the phrase, I can't put my finger on it.
He said it last night.
Yeah.
Mark, I sat listening to Adam Murray last night and he engaged me. I wanted to listen to what he said. I wanted to know how he set his team up to win that football match last night.
Right.
And I was hanging off every word he said. And my own manager, I couldn't even be bothered to listen to it. And he asked him some searching questions last night.
Yeah.
Which, you know, first time for everything.
Did he stand on your foot?
No, but it's a good point. Come back to the point then. Not,
I wasn't engaged.
But not... You're right. A lot of people aren't too bothered about the words and the content of what manager's going to say afterwards, because for a lot of managers and a lot of the time it's going to be quite generic. But for some people it is a be all and end all, and they are going to hang on every word and they are going to be interested in everything they say. So even if that's not his bag, there's still a degree to which he's got to turn some attention to it. I'm not saying he did well or he didn't do well, but I don't think we can just dismiss it at either end and say it's not important or it's really important.
When you summed him up as a ventriloquist dummy, Mark.
You know what I would like? I would like to talk to Darren Sahl or Kevin Watson after a game and see what they've got to say.
Well, as you were interviewing last night, I stood behind the dugout and all of the first team squad and Darren and Kevin Watson were there, and it was eerie. You know when you're in an empty grounds and it's quiet, but there were 17 bodies stood in front of me, not one single word from any of them, and I was eyeballing most of them, and Darren and Kevin, and then Kevin came through and stood and listened to your interview with Teddy, and he was red, and the faces were stern, but nothing was said. They were just stretched. The only person talking was Dan Barnes, and he was telling them what to do with their
but
corpse.
Do you remember at Dagenham?
Yeah, bawled him out.
After the game...
Bawled him out that day.
Darren Sahl was actually bawling them out. You know, during the warm down. And
not a lot of it was broadcastable,
was it?
The
language was choice.
Good.
And it was probably what you'd expect... Well, yeah. Probably what you'd expect to have been said in the changing room rather than out on the pitch.
But said it in front of home and away media buddies.
A load of our toffee.